Welcome. I'm Chaplain Phil Mahalik, senior Catholic priest here at Fort Sam Houston in Greater San Antonio, Texas. I'm glad that you are able to join us as we continue our series called Faith in the Crosshairs. In these programs, it will be my effort to answer questions which are sent in from our men and women in uniform about their Catholic faith or any matter pertaining to faith at all. The vision is that we plan to run Faith in the Crosshairs as a series through which you will have access on the internet worldwide. If you should have any questions or concerns that you would like addressed in future programs, you may email them to me at philip.a.mahalic@us.army.mil. This email address will also be on your screen at the end of this presentation. If you should have any personal issues that you would just like to address privately, send them to me, and we will keep them in a confidential way. Our topic for today's program is let's reimagine what our future can be. As a Catholic chaplain in the United States Army, I have the opportunity to minister to many men and women on a regular basis. Now, you might think that those in the military career would face an entirely different set of problems and issues than folks in the civilian world. And while that may be true in many instances, there are two issues which seem to come up right across the board. The first, and probably the biggest question in everyone's life, the one that I am asked most, is how do I know what God wants me to do with my life? The second question is, how do I go about making a difference that will be meaningful in this world? Usually I will follow these questions by asking them, exactly what is it that you want out of life? The answer almost always and overwhelmingly is, I just want to be happy. And I want my life to mean something. They seem like fairly simple concerns, common desires, but they are so difficult for all of us to resolve. Let's start out by exploring the first of these questions. How do I know what God wants me to do with my life? To tell you the truth, this is a question you will ask of yourself, whether you are 20, 50, or 100. It's a recurring question, and it is always new. It seems that God always calls us forward and tries to help us become more than we think we are, and even more than we think we are capable of becoming. This answer can be as simple or as difficult as a person chooses to make it. But I can tell you this, if you are not doing with your life that which God intended you to do, then for you, unfortunately, there will never be any happiness in this world at all. I know that seems like a rather harsh statement, but the simple fact is, it's true. So how do we determine what our God is calling us to do with our lives? During this time of deployment, you have a marvelous opportunity to work on yourself and to get to know yourself better than you do right now. Believe it or not, you are the most complicated person you will ever meet, and you are the biggest mystery you will ever know. We all have dreams. The fact is, you can't live your mom's or your dad's dream. It has to be your dream. And you have to have the courage to take hold of it. You can please everyone around you and live a life of misery. Or you can live the life God is calling you to live. And believe it or not, He will keep calling you to be more. Remember, some of you will, some of you may not, when the slogan of the Army was, "Be all you can be." Well, theologically, they had it right. And our God is calling us, compelling us to be all that we can be. Now, if I would, or I'd love to be able to tell you how you can determine what God wants you to do with your life. But unfortunately, that's not going to happen. I can tell you, though, that when you have found your true vocation, through the process of discernment, there are always, always, and this is the key factor, three things that will come together. When these three things come together in your life, then you have found where it is God is calling you to be, at least for that particular time in your life. The first is that there is love in your life. And by that I mean love of others, a spouse, family, and so on, to include love of God. The second is that you are using whatever special gifts and talents you have been given. And the third is that you are living a life of service. When all three of these things come together for you, you have found where God is calling you to be, at least for that particular time in your life. Sure, you're deployed now, but what is the next step? What is the next level to which our God wants to take us? Sometimes a lot of what we do has to do with how we feel about ourselves. For starters, let's take a look at self-esteem or self-image, how a person feels about themselves. How do we actually feel about ourselves? And how do we see ourselves? Unfortunately, among most people with whom I deal, and this is in our society as well, this is a real problem we live with. It's a world that is intent on putting us down, not in a world that tries to lift us up. For instance, you can look great in appearance for 364 days a year, and probably nobody will ever tell you. However, on that 365th day that you don't look so good, for some reason, people are more than willing and delighted to let you know. It could be because they're jealous. But I think it's deeper than that. You see, when a person puts another down, it has a psychological effect of making the first person feel superior over the other. It's the idea that if I can't raise myself up any higher in self-esteem than I am, by putting someone else down will make the gap between them and me greater. Even though I haven't gained any additional self-esteem, it feels as though I have, because another person in comparison is now lower than I am. It is a strange action that really makes no logical sense, but psychologically, it's done all of the time. And if we look around us, we'll see it almost on a daily basis. The fact is, if no one tells you that you are good and helps you build up your own self-esteem, your own self-image, how are you supposed to know? we all need to have our goodness reflected back to us at times in our lives. It's kind of like the old story of the young lady who was in college, and she was absolutely gorgeous. She was a real knockout. But the problem was that each Saturday night she sat in her dorm room alone. No one asked her out because they thought they wouldn't stand a chance with her. The difficulty? This beautiful young lady didn't realize that she was attractive. No one told her. She had the impression that there was something wrong with her, and therefore her self-esteem was extremely low. And the men had the attitude that this young lady was so pretty that she wouldn't give them a second chance. They didn't feel like they could measure up to what she might expect, so they just didn't try. Many times, and this will sound strange, but it is true, the most simple of our emotions and feelings are expressed best in children's stories and fairy tales. Let's, for example, take a look at the story of Rapunzel. I think most people are familiar with this story. The scenario goes like this. Once upon a time, all good stories start out this way. Well, there was a young lady named Rapunzel, and she is being held captive in a very high tower by a wicked witch. Each day, the witch would come and say those special words, "Rapunzel, Rapunzel, let down your golden hair." And Rapunzel would drop her long golden hair out of the tower window to the ground, and the wicked witch would climb up her hair and into the tower. Now, the next part we are not sure of, but I surmise that the wicked witch would then verbally abuse her. Rapunzel would be told that she was ugly and not fit to be with normal people. And that's why she had to stay in that tower. She had to remain in that tower. Talk about a procedure and conversation that would lower self-esteem. This experience would certainly lower anyone's self-esteem. Well, one day, as luck would have it, the wicked witch said the words, "Rapunzel, Rapunzel, let down your golden hair." And there was a very handsome prince who was standing close by. He watched and he heard the entire thing. Well, after the wicked witch left, the prince decided to give it a try. So he went with the same words, "Rapunzel, Rapunzel, let down your golden hair." And Rapunzel, thinking it was the wicked witch, let down her golden hair. Just as always, but then the magic comes into play. Rapunzel waits for the witch to climb the tower and come in through the open window. Imagine her surprise as she first saw the top of the prince's blonde hair on his head. In case you didn't know it, all princes in fairy tales have blonde hair. They have blue eyes, too. Then gradually, his eyes reached the level of the windowsill. And for the first time, the prince was able to see Rapunzel. Even more importantly, Rapunzel was able to see the eyes of the prince. And what do you suppose she saw in those eyes? For the first time in her life, she saw her own beauty and her own goodness reflected back to her. For the first time in her life, she felt like she was a person of worth. For the first time in her life, she felt stirring in her heart that which she never knew was there. As the story goes, the prince cut the hair of Rapunzel, tied it off at the top of the tower, and he and Rapunzel climbed down her hair, and they lived happily ever after. Ah, by the way, that's the way all good stories end. Now, the obvious question to be asked is, what kept Rapunzel in that tower all those years? Apparently, there were no locks, and there were no bars on the windows. It would appear that Rapunzel could have climbed out of that tower any time she wanted. The fact is, she was a victim of her own self-esteem and her own self-image. It was because she didn't feel good about herself. She didn't think she had anything to offer anyone else. It wasn't until her own goodness and her own beauty was reflected back to her in the prince's eyes that she realized that she was someone and did have something to offer, that she was a worthwhile person, and she felt she had something to share with others, to share herself. Eleanor Roosevelt once said, "No one can make you feel inferior without your permission." Things are what they are. You are what you are. And that's just fine. Too many people spend time thinking about all the things that they don't have. Forget about it and make the most of what you do have. In the 1940s, there was a young man by the name of Peter Gray. It was his sole desire in life to play professional baseball. Well, he practiced and practiced, and eventually he made the minor leagues. He continued to try to do his best, and eventually the Cleveland Browns picked up his contract. He had made the major leagues. Now, Peter Gray was never a star. He was never a starter. He never hit a home run. Actually, he only played 1 year of professional major league baseball. But you see, Peter Gray had only one arm. He would catch the ball in one hand, toss it slightly up in the air, drop his glove, catch the ball again, and throw the ball in. One thing which Peter had going for himself is that he never felt sorry for himself. He never looked down at this side of his body and say, "This I don't have." He would look at the right side of his body and he would say, "This I do have, and I'm going to do the best I can with it." You know, we're all a lot like that. We seem to dwell too much on what we don't have rather than to look at what we do have and to make the most of it. Make up your mind. Be determined that you are going to do the best you can with what you've got. You are going to make the special gifts and talents that God has given you grow and develop into what they were meant to be. Deeply within each and every one of us is a tremendous desire and need to hear other people say to us, "You know, I am a better person because I have known you. We all know that our fellow soldiers can sometimes get down and feel depressed. We've all seen it. You know, you have a special ability. Take some time with that person, and with words of affirmation, a pat on the back, or whatever it will be to help pick up their spirits, do it, use it, and believe it or not, in doing so, you will truly raise your own self-esteem, because you will be making yourself a better person in the process. Want to be a hero? Want to be a rock star? Of course you do. And you can be just by making a difference in someone's life. No one wants to be here in Iraq or Afghanistan or at war anywhere, but you know what? We can all help each other through and come out better than when we started. Let's just take it one step at a time. Be all you can be and help others be all that they can be also. I would like to leave you with this poem or prayer that I use at the end of each of my talks. And it goes like this. Let us tonight look back across the span between dawn and darkness, and to our conscience say, because of a kind word or deed, the world and the church are better that we lived this day. God bless all of you, and God bless America.